Mr. Winters, who are we going
to
speak with?
Well, we're going to talk to Deborah Norville. Inside Edition had their 4,000th episode last Wednesday.
Yep.
It took 13 and a half years to rack up that many episodes. Deborah Norville has been the host now for the last 6 years, and we've got her on the phone with us this morning.
My guess is Bill O'Reilly.
I think you're right.
Good morning, Deborah.
I'm sorry we're not giving $1 million away, but you are right.
You were so close to that million, Rick.
Yeah, I was close.
So close.
How are you this morning?
Yes. Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're all big fans of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've been doing a good job on that show for a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of amazing to hit 4,000 because most shows, I mean, there was one show this past fall. It aired once, and they canceled it. And then Michael Richards' show, the Kramer guy from Seinfeld, he aired twice, and they canceled him.
How many episodes have you done in 6 years?
You know what? They figured it out. 1,541,
wow.
I think, by that time.
Do you have a favorite episode? Favorite story?
You know, there are ones that stand out. I mean, certainly the week I spent in jail last year is a big standout. And then there's individual stories I did. I guess the Oklahoma City bombing, because that sort of underscored for me, it happened just weeks after I'd started, and it underscored for me that, you know, they're serious. They really do want to be a credible show. And they're not afraid to, you know, pick up stakes and move if that's what you have to do the right job. And so that, to me, that told a lot about what their level of dedication was.
Were you ever scared in the prison episodes?
Oh, my God, when I walked in. I mean, from the get-go. I didn't know what was going to happen. And you, when you don't know what to expect next, I mean, any of us have been in a new situation know how unsettling that is. But when you're in a new situation, you don't know what's going to happen, and you know you don't have any rights. It's terrifying. And they sent me back last week for 2 days and nights, which was a cakewalk compared to the first time. And when the tape was coming in, the producer was going, "Oh, she doesn't look scared. She doesn't look terrified like she was last year." And the guy standing next to him said, "Look, she's a two-timer. You know, none of the rest of them are scared either. They've all been there before."
Did they up security in any way for you when you did that or not?
Well, they did, but it wasn't what I had been told it was going to be. They had an extra guard that we paid for, you know, regular guard that worked there, but we paid the overtime for them to work the extra shifts and be there to protect me. But I had been told the guard would be in the cell with me. So I go walking in, and it's a common space about 8 by 12 with three little bitty cells attached to it. And I look around, and I first go, "God, this place is scuzzy." And my next thought was, "Man, those women are really rough looking." And the third thought was, "And that guard who's supposed to be in here with me is on the other side of the bars. This is not what they told me."
Oh.
But then you're stuck. You just got to keep on going. And that's when I made the decision. I'm Deborah Norville, the TV lady.
Yeah, there you go.
You be nice to me and we'll all get along just fine.
Are you getting ready to interview Susan from Survivor? Susan Hawk?
Oh, we've done her so many times.
Have you?
Just wait from Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. Old news.
Well, I think so. I mean, there's a bunch of them from the first episode that I just look at them and I go, "Man, you guys are so lucky." Because nobody's going to want to hear from this batch of castaways from the second show. I mean, the guy who wins or girl who wins, they'll get some press. And we actually yesterday had on Deb Eaton, the prison guard, the one who got kicked out in the beginning, because she has such an unusual life. She is now the lover of her late husband's son. So her stepson is now her boyfriend.
What a twisted
and,
mess.
And, you know, a story like that, you kind of have to do. You know what I mean?
Yesterday. Are you aware that there are weirdos on the internet that post pictures of you, especially when you're perched on that stool at the end of the show?
Pictures of me? What am I doing? Am I, like, headless or topless? Or
no, if you like wearing short skirts and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole upskirt video. You know, we've done stories about those people, and it's really very interesting. In the summertime, in New York City, it's a great place to, you know, find people walking around in short skirts. These guys are such perverts, they will put a camera in a shopping bag, have it upside down so the lens is pointing up, and walk around and do it so that, you know, hold the bag so that it can shoot up a lady's skirt or short shorts.
Gosh.
And we had one of our employees, a girl who worked in our promotions department, was out one summer afternoon, evening, to have drinks and dinner with a girlfriend and a guy. And this guy bumps into our friend, and then she realizes what he's got in her in his This girl, I mean, she's skinny, mini. She hauled after and started chasing this guy.
Good for her.
Jen, you're a nut. Starts chasing, hollering for somebody to help. He's a pervert. This is New York. Of course he's a pervert. But the amazing thing was a guy joined in her chase. They caught this fellow. They held him, took his camera, videoed him being held waiting for the cop. And the guy's got the camera. He says, smile, you're on your own candid camera. And come to find out, they call the cops. Come to find out, it is not a crime
to do what
this guy was doing, except he bumped the woman. So he made physical contact. You can't touch anybody. So he ended up doing, like, you know, 3 days in jail or something like that.
Well, Deborah, is there a story out there
that you'd
like to do that you haven't been able to do yet?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I miss not covering politics hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've covered Bill and Hillary, and we've done a little bit on the gift garbage, and we'll probably get around to doing something on Mark Rich if it just goes on, and it very well may now with the criminal investigation as well as the congressional investigation. But we're not a news show. We're, you know, I'm the first to say, having come from the networks, the reason for our existence is we're trying to get an audience that advertisers will pay for. And the producers way back when, 4,000 episodes ago, said the way to do it is to do stories about real people, real stuff, real events, and tell them in a journalistically sound way. And that's what we've done. But we're not Dan, Peter, and Tom. You watch them to find out what's really going on.
Hey, Deborah, what's the most memorable interview that you've ever done that's affected you the most?
I don't know that affected me the most, but I certainly was thrilled to do Margaret Thatcher when I was on the Today Show.
Really?
Yeah, because it was during the Gulf War buildup. And it turned out over dinner the night before, she and President Bush had decided they'd go in and bomb the heck out of Saddam Hussein, and they didn't need any UN resolution. And when she said that in response to my question, it was, you knew immediately, a worldwide headline that had just been made.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, within minutes, it was moving on the AP wire. And when they say that she said on the Today Show, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right. So then, you know, you did a good job, you asked the right question, and you made some news. And I think that was always the objective.
Mm-hmm. Did you get your fill of O.J. Simpson?
Gosh, didn't we all?
Yes.
And won't that man just behave so
no.
we don't have to do any more stories about him? He's, you know, I'm sorry. He goes and he does this thing last July, and guy gets up too close to him or something like that, and O.J. goes tearing after him, reaches in the guy's car, grabs his glasses off of his face, which was not very smart because it then is proof that O.J. did it. Mm-hmm. There's his fingerprints on there, and we do know his fingerprints are on file.
Sure. Do you have any doubt that he committed those two murders?
In my mind,
yep.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and if there were doubt, I think his behavior since then is certainly not that of a man wrongly accused.
Yeah.
It seems to be, boy, and are people going to be upset with me.
Are there any stories?
It seems to me a man who's, you know, got off.
Are there any stories that you wish you had not reported or just wanted to avoid?
Well, there's a lot of stories that I think, and actually there have been times, not since I've been at Inside Edition, but when I was a correspondent at CBS, you know, working on magazine shows, not much difference from what Inside Edition is, except it was an hour long and it aired in prime time. And I can remember there were some stories when we were getting into family situations or kids were involved. And I remember one particular time, I went up to the adult and I said, I switched off my microphone. I said, look, you don't want us to do this story. This is not good for your family. You can tell us to leave. And if you ask us to leave, we will leave. We're not going to tell you we're going.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask us to leave, we'll leave. And, you know, I don't remember if they asked us to leave or not, but I remember being so aware of the impact of the story we were doing that I thought, you know, we don't need this story that bad. They need their dignity more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A couple more questions. How do you feel about the daytime tabloid shows like Jenny Jones and Ricky Lake and Maury and those sort of things?
I have to tell you, I'm appalled by some of them. And I got to say, particularly Maury Povich, I was down in Houston doing something at our affiliate there, and they aired that show at the time I was in the makeup room. And it was so vile. These were girls, you know, 12, 13, 15-year-old girls who were calling their mothers, you know, the five-letter word that starts with B and the five-letter word that starts with W. And on TV, and you know, if the family relationship wasn't destroyed, it just was by virtue of them giving a platform to these girls. And I know people who work as the talent coordinators on these things. They encourage you to let it all hang out. They're, you know, fanning the flames. And I said to the person, I said, I'm sorry, do you mind if we turn this TV set off?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a party to even watching this trash that's out there. And what troubles me as a mom is that enough people watch that these shows stay on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm the oddball.
No, I totally agree with you. One more question, Deborah. What do you do to unwind when you're not working?
Last night I did something that was very fun. It was not unwinding, but I made my Broadway debut.
Really?
I made my Broadway debut and probably my Broadway finale all in one year. there was a movie that was done in the 50s called Caged, and it was a movie that had Agnes Moorehead, remember from Bewitched? Eleanor Parsons. I mean, a lot of old stars back in 1950. It was called Caged, and it was a very, very gritty movie about inside of a woman's prison. When they took that movie and they made a campy play out of it that the Tweed Theater Company did, which is a lot of transvestites and drag queens, and they did this play last night to benefit the theater company as well as God's Love We Deliver,
mm-hmm.
which is a program in New York that delivers meals to homebound AIDS patients.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This play had Lily Tomlin, Joan Rivers, Isabella Rossellini, Lorna Luft, Lipsinka, the drag queen, Velma Jean Merman, another cross-dresser. I mean, just this most unusual cadre of men and men dressed up as women and women playing these ladies in prison, and then they have a walk-on for three society ladies. I was one of the society ladies.
Oh.
Good for you.
I had a line. I said, this place smells like a zoo. And then Blaine Trump, who is a very dear friend of mine, who is another society lady, who's on the board of directors of God's Love We Deliver. And then we were to follow another society lady. But they told me, you're following Floyd. And I'm backstage, and I'm looking for some guy named Floyd. Floyd comes walking up. Floyd is 6'3", had an amazing pair of brown pumps on. And
no.
This is what we do. And we followed Floyd, and we made our little stage entrance. And they even had us on stage for the final bow.
Really?
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's not unwinding, but every now and then you get to do something fun like that that kind of carries you through.
We can find your show locally here on Wood TVH at 3:30 in the afternoon, and we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again sometime. Just call anytime.
You know what? I will. I'm actually going to be in Grand Rapids in August. They've got a women's event that's coming up, so we'll talk before that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That'd be great.
Fabulous.
Hey, thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Deborah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, she was awful nice.
Yeah, she was.
Very
nice. That was a fun interview.
Yeah.